Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
In quarantine, that's where we are. We're staying home. Not like lunatics.
Lunatics. No, that's true. We are.
We're not home. Protesting.
We continue to be home.
We're not yelling that we need haircuts. And we're not.
I never need a haircut.
We're not conflating a mild inconvenience with tyranny. So,
right.
Hope everybody's doing well.
We actually watched the entirety of the Harley Quinn cartoon.
We did.
DC.
I mean, as many episodes as there are, I think.
There's a new one up now. No.
Yeah. We watched the whole first season, and then on the DC app, so they drop a new episode every week.
Yeah.
So I think we watched the first five or six of the second season.
Yeah, it's around that part.
Yeah, it was actually
whatever was out up until last week. There's a new one. There's one more episode that's been out.
Yeah, I resisted watching it for a while because I didn't think I was going to like it. I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I did really like it. It was very funny. It's actually really, really, really funny. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's full of swears. It's kind of right up my alley.
It's very unlike DC in a lot. I mean, because I know DC does have their adult content. Even comic book companies like Marvel and DC do stuff like that, it never feels complete.
Right.
You know, never feels like it's genuine from a company that also puts out superhero stuff that is very homogenized or scrutinized.
Right.
But it was great. It was good. It was fun. One of my guys that I read for wrestling was watching this, and he was talking about on his blog, Scott Keith, who was talking about, there's this conversation at the beginning, I think it was the most recent episode, these two nerd guys were bullshitting on the DC app, had the DC app up, and they're, you know, it's an animated part of it, and they're basically bullshitting on the concept of the Harley Quinn show.
Right.
Why is it up?
The funniest part about that is one is wearing a shirt that says "Release the Snyder Cut," and then what does the other one say?
I forgot.
It's really fucking funny.
Yeah, I forgot.
But
somebody was like, "Oh yeah, it really relates to wrestling these days," and so I was like, "Okay,
it does."
Yeah, I can see that. And so I was like, "All right, I'll check it out." But I didn't want to check it out from just that particular one. It felt it would make more sense just to watch it from the beginning.
Yeah,
and, you know, eventually get there, but. Damn, if that's not a bingeable show.
Oh, my God. It totally is.
It breezes by. Because they're basically, like, they're half-hour episodes.
Yeah.
There's so much ridiculousness going on at any given moment.
Yeah.
In this show. There's a lot of great voice acting in it. Kaylee Cuoco is Harley. Lake Bell is Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then I didn't realize how much of the supporting cast was like.
Right.
Because I just thought it was Harley, and then she just did a bunch of stuff, and, like, Ivy was there. But it's pretty much, like, it's her.
She has to get her own little crew together.
Yeah, she gets a crew.
So Clayface is there. Clayface is so fucking funny because he's just such on a different wavelength. Like, he's a serious actor, so everything is a role.
Yeah.
It's really fucking... But Bane is my favorite. He's not part of Harley's crew.
Well, we'll get to that, but I want to talk about her crew first.
Oh, okay.
So you had... Then you have Dr. Psycho, who is... I don't know enough about it. Wonder Woman villain.
Yes.
Who becomes disgraced because
he calls Wonder Woman a cunt.
He calls Wonder Woman a cunt on live TV. So everybody, even like the
Legion of Doom disavows him and kicks him out.
Which the Legion of Doom in this is kind of like a corporation in a way. Like it exists in Gotham by itself as a build, like the headquarters that, you know, you would see in the swamp actually just exists like a building. And so they have like just like an office culture to it. But
they have their own offices.
Right. So then you have that. And then you have King Shark played by Ron Funches.
Yeah. Really funny. King Shark wearing a hoodie and cargo pants.
Yes. He just looks so he's a tech expert.
Yeah.
He knows how to do websites. And at one point he puts these little glasses on.
Any tiny little glasses. It's really funny.
And so, but it's Ron Funches' voice. So if you're not familiar with Ron Funches, he's like, "Hey, how you going?" You know, he's just got this silly voice. This is how he sounds.
Yeah.
And Ron Funches is hilarious too.
Yeah, he's very funny.
And it was actually kind of nice because he was in that Powerless show.
Yes, he was. He was one of the office workers in that show.
He was on there. And then...
I'm sure he's been writing for stuff because he used to
Ron Funches is always busy.
Yeah, he's always... Oh, my God. He's so busy.
Yeah, the dude's always writing stuff, but he's also, like, he's a touring comedian.
Yeah,
He's got movie roles. I mean, he's got stuff he's doing. But I'm saying, but for a guy like him who is... A lot like ourselves, a lot like myself.
Oh, yeah, he's a huge wrestling fan.
Huge wrestling fan, huge nerd. Huge comic book guy, just into that shit.
Yeah.
So he gets to play King Shark, but it's such a crazy role. Like, you know, he's a shark, too, so he occasionally, when they're, you know, in the middle of these melees, he'll just bite a person, like, oh!
Yeah.
You know, just...
There's so much blood in the show.
Yes, that's the thing. There's a lot of blood.
There's bones, like, coming out of skin. Like, people get flat out murdered.
Yes.
In this show, which is actually kind of great.
Yeah, it is very crazy. Oh, and then last but not least is Psy.
Yes.
Who is voiced by Jason Alexander.
Yeah, former, like, CIA, now old man, turned landlord.
Yeah, he's a former, like, he just commits war crimes. He's kind of like...
He's a war criminal.
You know what he is? He's kind of like Frank Reynolds.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, 100%.
So he's...
For fucking war criminal.
He's a character that apparently... Well, not apparently, but he's from the Harley Quinn books.
Yeah,
which
I've never read.
That have been out for the past 10 years. And stuff that I'm not familiar with, but, you know, I guess he's a part of that. So they integrate him in the show, if you have the DC app or, you know, whatever, just check it out. You'll like it. You wanted to talk about it, because there's a bunch of other characters in the show.
Yeah. There, I mean, pretty much, you'll see a bunch of different, Batman obviously Batman's shows up. It. Catwoman shows up for an episode.
Even Superman does show up.
Even Superman shows up, and Superman's really fucking... Like, he's the most Boy Scout-y of boys. He's such a fucking chode, which is great. And, I mean, Wonder Woman's there. So, I mean, there's, like, a bunch of stuff, but part of the Legion of Doom. And they have, like, a break room, and Bane is there because Bane's part of the Legion of Doom, but he has a coffee cup. This is like, what does it say? Like,
coffee is my reckoning.
Yeah, coffee is my reckoning. And every single time anything happens to Bane that he doesn't like, he just threatens to blow it up.
Yes.
That's his answer to everything. He like will drop something and he's like, I will blow you up. It's just really fucking funny.
He's also voiced by James Adomian.
Yeah, I love him so much. I wish there was more Bane.
Yeah, well, there usually is. There's usually a good helping of Bane. Yeah, James Adomian, who's he's a funny comedian, does a lot of voice work and stuff. He's Bane, and it just kills it, because he's just like,
so funny.
Because they're basically doing the Tom Hardy version of it.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that on the animated series, he was, you know, it didn't sound like that.
No. On the animated series, he was much more, he didn't have that voice and stuff.
But they did it, and he's just sitting there, and every time he's like, oh, I'm going to blow up the studio.
Yeah, whatever he's going to do, and like, you know, if someone's having a problem, his only solution is you could blow it up.
I'm going to blow up the smoothie stand or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to blow up the smoothie stand. I'm going to, you know, he drops an appetizer and he threatens to blow it up. It's just, it's very fucking funny.
Because he's always wearing his mask.
Yeah.
And he's always like, he's...
Well, they're all wearing their costumes all the time.
Yeah, they're always wearing their costumes all the time. What's his face? Wayne Knight Newman is the Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole one where they go to the Penguins.
Mr. Freeze is in it.
Mr.
Freeze is a level of fucked up I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's just a few others. Like
Two-Face, obviously, is in there.
Two-Face. There's also, like, some weird stuff. Like, Giganta was married to...
Dr. Psycho.
Dr. Psycho. But now, mind you, Giganta is giant woman.
She's a giant woman.
And Dr. Psycho is, like, this diminutive man with a giant head.
He's small.
He's like a little toy or whatever, but he's just constantly swearing and just an awful monster.
Yeah.
And then Wanda Sykes is the Queen of Fables?
Queen of Fables, which apparently is a real comic book character. Uh-huh. I thought she was created for the show.
No. She's a real character that I think Mark Waid created her.
Yeah, I was not aware.
She was a part of some Justice League comics. And
she's extremely fucked up.
It's very violent.
And so violent. It's so sweary. It's just really fun. It's just like, this is what I want out of my cartoons.
Yeah.
I want swearing and I want... just violence, and I want this to be just dumb.
I want Justice League Unlimited, but just like this.
Yeah.
I just want all the characters, everybody's showing up just swearing and being ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
It's fun. It's a really good time.
It's by far my favorite Harley Quinn related property. And I know that for somebody like me who I'm not I don't dislike the animated Batman animated series, but I don't have the connection to it like you do.
Oh, I do. But here's the thing. I don't love Harley Quinn as a character. And I never have. It's never hit with me. It never resonated with me the way it resonates with other people, which is fine because not every character is going to resonate with you. You know, I've always been drawn more to like Catwoman, obviously. Yep. I don't dislike Harley Quinn, but I'm not like, oh my God, Harley, I love her. You know, and I know people do, which is fine. So for me, I'm just kind of like, eh, okay. Like, I'm not here for Harley Quinn. I'm really here for everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, Harley's good in it. It's not her. It's just that character has just never resonated with me. Just never has.
I love it.
And, yeah, it's fun.
I'm hoping that they do more things like that, and hopefully this will stick around. And, you know, and because they do stuff on the show, too, that's, like, not entirely just for comedy. It's also very, like, heavy and just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Lots, I mean, a lot about, like, mental illness and relationships. And,
yeah.
It's not crazy Emmy stuff, you know. Whatever,
no, but I mean, you know, you can't really talk about Harley Quinn in an adult way and not address the fact that she had a seriously codependent, abusive relationship with the Joker.
Uh huh. And that's a big,
like, and you can't not address that.
There's a lot of that centers around that.
Yeah.
On the show, but it's definitely worth checking out. I'm certain there will be other parts that come up as we continue to watch it that we'll bring up because there's some good jokes in it. Mm-hmm. What else did we watch? I saw The Ring for the first time last night.
Uh-huh.
For We Hate Movies. That movie, it's not great. I don't think it's as great as there. I mean, it's good.
It's fine.
It's not.
I saw it in the theater.
Mind blowing to me. Yeah, it's one of those things where I was thinking about why I never saw it is, and I think I figured this out, like from 98, 99 ish to like 2004, I was so wrapped up in like music.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing the metal shows and I was going to concerts and, you know, I had a lot. So that took up a lot of my time that when it would come time to see and maybe see a movie.
Sure.
I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't have I didn't see the point in going out of my way to see a bunch of movies. So there's a lot of stuff that would come out in that time period, which The Ring came out in 2002.
Right.
It was one of those things where it was just like never decided where it's like, oh, let's go see this movie. It's like, mm-hmm. No, I just never saw it. So, and the horror movies too, at least from my circle of friends, you know, it's I like them and I like them more. I for whatever reason, I like them more. I like them more as I got older.
Right.
Than I did. I mean, I still enjoyed them, but it was never a genre. Like it was more always like, let's go see comedies and action blockbusters and stuff. And, you know, so I never really got around to seeing, you know, movies like The Ring.
Right.
That being said,
I don't remember if I saw that by myself or not. I don't think so. I think my friend Shannon came with me. Because a lot of times, like, you know, I would have to go watch that sort of shit by myself. Nobody came with me.
Well, if you wanted to see it, you go see it. And I never was one of the people, I was never one of a person to just be like, oh, I'm going to go see a movie myself.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
It never occurred to me that as an adult I should do that.
Oh, you know what? It is an enjoyable time. I would seriously encourage people that if, you know, if you're worried about going to see a movie by yourself, don't be. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, obviously now it's the now. But like in general, in normal times, there's nothing wrong with going to see a movie by yourself. It's actually really, I have a good time with it. I buy my ticket. I get my popcorn, my thing, my soda. And I just sit there and I just enjoy this movie.
Yep.
And it's just me hanging out by myself.
Yeah.
And I used to do that, especially like when I was in Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, when you went to LA to do the internship. I would go shopping. You know, I take myself shopping on a weekend and I'd go to the mall or whatever. I'd go to Downtown Crossing and, you know, buy clothes or whatever. And then I'd stop and I'd go see a movie by myself. And it was great.
Huh.
And I enjoyed it. And I thoroughly recommend it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you saw that I've never seen.
Yeah, because I'd go by myself.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I watched that for the first time last night. It's dumb. There's a horse death scene that is...
Sean was like laughing so freaking hard today.
I saw it when I last, so last time we watched it, I didn't like that scene at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually upset by it because, you know, it's a horse.
It's a horse.
It's animals.
It's not a real animal.
That's why, at least for me, I'm not going to watch that Tiger King.
Oh, no. Thank you very much.
Just a lot of animal abuse or
there's people getting hurt.
People getting hurt and animals
getting
hurt. Animals
getting hurt, and that's upsetting to me.
There's a scene where a horse falls off a boat, and hindsight, thinking about it and explaining it to Jen.
Oh my God, he was cackling.
Because we were going to get some coffee today, and we were taking a drive, you know, a drive.
Drive-through
coffee, yes. And I saw a horse. Because, you know, Denver out here, you see horses all over the place. And I told you, it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I watched do you remember this horse scene? And as I was describing it, I could not stop laughing.
It was like a yelling in the car.
Because it's funny.
Like, just like losing his absolute shit describing this horse scene, which I've seen The Ring before. It's been so long because the only time I ever saw it was in the theater.
Well, also I'm looking at anticipating the guy's talking about it.
Yeah.
So, but it's just this thing where the horse, you know, tries to run over Naomi Watts and she jumps over.
So fucking funny.
And the horse hits the side of the boat. And what I compared it to was when you play the Lego game, and it's particularly, and I think in the Batman, the space one.
Yeah.
You could be Bat Cow.
Yes.
And my favorite thing about there's a few things about Bat Cow. One thing about Bat Cow is like Bat Cow, like it'll moo, but it'll like also angry moo.
Yeah.
Like, moo. Moo. Like
just yeah. I love Bat Cow on that. But, it's so funny.
What you could do is you could jump the, you know, in these games you don't die. You know,
right.
You just respawn right away or whatever. But and there's really no consequence. But in this particular one, you could just take Bat Cow and just run them off a ledge. Like, just have them run and they just go, and they make, like, noises.
Yeah,
like,
they make really sad death
so
noises.
It's kind of like what they have with this horse, because this horse is underwater. It's like, and he just gets chopped up by the boat. Oh, fuck.
Oh, Sean's having a good time with this horse.
yeah. Treat yourself. Treat yourself, guys. But just watch that scene.
I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, just watch that. Don't worry about the rest of the movie. It's fine. There's some other bullshit in that movie, too, that's stupid. And that movie is just dumb in general, especially because it's 2002. So we had DVDs, but we weren't quite DVD.
Yeah.
You know, we fully weren't a DVD.
People still had VHS copies of shit.
You still had to deal with the VHSs.
And it is funny for people to be, like, watching VHS tapes and, you know, all that sort of shit. And, I mean, we didn't have smartphones. And so, like, the actual landline has to ring and you know, that sort of stuff. So it is
ridiculous where there's, like, the landline rings and everybody, you know. It's like, what if you're not near your phone? Like, what if you watch it and then you immediately go out?
Right, you're gone.
You know, it's like, how are you going to get that call?
Right, and if you don't get the call, do you die?
Well, there's a few times in that movie where I think it's after the kid watches it.
Right.
And spoilers. That's
creepy, creepy kid, by the way.
Who became like a legal counsel for the government.
Apparently, this kid, like the kid who played the kid in The Ring, ended up like going to UCLA and like graduating as like the valedictorian at like age 15 or some shit. Yeah. And then he went to Harvard after that and like became a lawyer by like age 21 and he like works for the government now. He's like a legal counsel for the government in Washington.
Does anybody that works there at the government, they're like, they come in for some serious government stuff and they're like, hey, do you remember that part in The Ring where that horse jumped off the boat?
He's like, no, I wasn't in that scene.
He's like, no, I haven't watched it. I don't even know. Were you there? I know
he wasn't
in
that scene.
But did they just kind of have you? Were you like, did they just like get everybody? I don't know. But
yeah.
That's actually endangering a child.
Yeah, that's yeah,
you can't have that.
He wasn't there.
You can't go John Landis on that shit.
Oh Jesus!
Which that's another thing because we watched this is a while back a couple weeks ago. We watched the remaining episodes of the what's that show called?
Oh, I don't remember. Cursed. Fuck.
Cursed, I think it's just Cursed Films.
Something like that. It's on Shudder, and it's about cursed films.
And one of them is the Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah, where that guy and children get fucking decapitated.
Get decapitated by a helicopter that fell, and R.I.P.
Yeah.
Those people, because Jesus Christ, and John Landis, who, director of Animal House and just a number of movies, American Werewolf in London, he just comes off as just a piece of shit.
He really does.
And it's not in the way that he's just like, I don't care about things. He just doesn't seem to grasp the reality, it just doesn't feel like it's the thing that is like, oh, I'll just do it because it's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and just like his son,
well,
who is not a good person.
No. And you kind of see like people telling him like, hey, maybe, you know, we can't use these kids.
Well, he's using the kids illegally.
Well, that's the thing, because he wanted it at night and, you know, there's laws against those kids like working at night. So he was like, well, we're just going to go like get some kids. We're not going to go through a casting agency. We're not going to go through, you know, whatever. We're just going to literally go get kids off the street and just pay the money. So their parents are there and like the explosions are huge and it just rocks the helicopter and it comes down and it decapitates these kids when their parents are watching. They're right there.
Yeah.
And it just killed the guy who did the, you know, the stunt coordinator guy who was there, killed his career completely.
Of course.
Because John Landis was all right. Don't worry about
John
him.
John Landis, for whatever reason, everybody was like, oh, yeah, he's still cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then there, you know, it is the same thing with his son.
Yeah.
His son, I mean, you don't hear a lot about his son entirely, but when you do hear stuff, it's always bad.
Well, I think.
Because he sucks.
Because he did Bright. His son did Bright. And
He wrote Bright. He's a writer.
Right. And I do remember when there was a lot of tweets being like, this is the next Star Wars. It's the most amazing thing anybody's going to ever see.
Remember that scene in Star Wars where Chewbacca was on the Joe Rogan show?
That's right. Oh, God, I forgot about that. I forgot Joe Rogan's in that fucking movie.
The Joe Rogan podcast
is like playing on TV.
Will Smith is watching it, getting ready for work on his computer.
Oh, I thought he was playing it like on a CNN.
No, he was watching YouTube video, and he's talking. You know, it's Joe Rogan talking to some orc.
Oh God, he's
talking to. Oh God,
that's so fucking funny.
That's as funny as that horse fall. That's funny. that movie's a piece of shit.
Yeah, movie sucked.
I think that was about it. I got a few more gimmicks in the mail.
Sure.
Which, speaking of gimmicks, we'll throw this out there before we take a break. Another video of me talking about my toys.
Yeah.
My action figure collection is up, and it's me talking about some new figures I bought, because I got so many of them, and I take so long when I talk about them.
I know.
But I enjoy it.
I know.
I enjoy having long conversations about a action figure that nobody really cares about.
I know, but I have to rein you in, because if it were up to you, you would just spend like 6 hours talking about the whole case and we'd have like a huge fucking video that we could never upload.
I could.
I know you could. That's why I have to rein you in.
I could.
And you kind of get mad at me for it. And I'm like, no, really, we just want to do this. And then afterward, you're like, oh yeah, it was good call.
So yeah, but that is up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/worstcollectionever. Great. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with our book for this week.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarterbin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarterbin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
All right, we're back here at Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is from our continuing pile of comic books from Mile High Comics that they sent us, because I purchased them. Mm-hmm. They didn't just send them to us.
We bought them.
I gave them money.
Yes.
And they arrived.
We exchanged money for comics.
Right. Goods and services.
Yes.
But we have here from DC Comics, the next issue number 1 from September 2006. And this is a mini series. It's a 6-issue mini series. And I had never heard of this book.
Nope.
Until we
received it.
Received it.
Yeah.
I've never heard of these characters.
No.
And I am glad I never did. I want to get your initial impressions of this book.
They're trying to do a whole hell of a lot in this one issue. And we'll talk about it, but for me, I'm kind of just like, all right. I mean, I guess I understand what they're trying to do, but I don't really care about it.
Right.
So there, that's what I say.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. A lot of what's going on here, because it's a lot of heavy, like, time travel mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
Is it timey-wimey? Is that the sign? Is that the term?
Timey-wimey.
That's like a Doctor Who term.
Oh, I don't know. I've never seen Doctor Who.
I know the term is timey-wimey.
Oh,
but I don't know what exactly. I feel like it's just something like a lot of time travel bullshit.
Yeah, sure.
But we're here. We have the cover of this book, and this logo is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically one of these with the letters all jumbled and faded.
When did this come out?
2006.
That's later than I expected.
It's much later. Yeah, it feels like it should be like a 90s.
It really does.
Or at least an early aughts.
Yes.
And it's not that late. I mean, it's.
No, it's not that late, but.
I mean, it's what? 14 years ago?
Yeah.
Which, you know, we were 2006. I mean, you know, we're getting. I feel like by 2004, we kind of got out of whatever was the early aughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're kind of burning that off. I feel like we were moving forward from that.
Yeah, this is definitely like a throwback.
It feels like even more of a throwback to me.
Yeah.
But here it is. And on the cover here, it says the next above the logo. It says, will they save the universe or destroy it? We have the characters. But of course, since this is the very first issue, and we need to establish some sort of resonance in the DC universe proper. Superman is here.
Yes.
Thank God. We have Superman carrying a park bench. He's flying. A bunch of these characters are flying. And we have a park bench. Superman carrying a park bench. And on the park bench is, there's a girl that we're going to be introduced to named Monica Wong,
mm-hmm.
who's got pink and black hair. We have Cindy, who's the pink girl in the pink.
Kind of looks like a flight attendant.
Between them is this dog, just called Dog.
It's just Dog.
And it's a translucent dog.
But it's like made, like inside of it are just like gears. It's like a robot.
It's like a robot. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And behind the bench is, I believe this is Slam.
Oh, I didn't catch that guy's name.
Yeah, there's Slam, and he's carrying, he's kind of like grabbing the bench, and he's kind of like gliding behind it, and he's like a black dude with like an Argyle hat,
yeah,
an orange coat, and to the sides of Superman we have I believe the name is Tweet, who's a orange woman with white hair and white costume.
No, I didn't think that one was Tweet.
No, it has to be Tweet because two girls, and we didn't name her here.
Let me see, because I thought Tweet was. The one, because this is Poetry Slam or whatever.
Oh, no, what? You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly thought it was Storm. And I was like, wait, wrong universe.
You're right. This is Slam. Okay, you're right. This is Slam.
Yeah.
And
Tweet was like the little guy who comes up and he's like, what's your actual name?
Is it this guy?
I think it's
the other side?
That guy. I don't know. We'll get there.
Maybe I'll figure it out. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so maybe Slam. Okay, so you're right. Slam is the girl.
Yeah.
Is this orange version of Storm. And the other two guys, the guy with the park bench and then this other guy hanging out in Superman's cape, is just a dude that looks like Jamie Kennedy from... Seth Green from Can't Hardly Wait.
100%.
Wearing goggles, which is the movie we watched the other day.
We did watch that because it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. And it could be either... Tweet or Ben. Ben.
Yeah, it's one of the two.
Could be Tweet or Ben. So I don't even know how to explain this beginning.
I think the easiest way is to say that there are these amorphous blobs that are traveling through the space-time continuum. They're like escaping their home. It's not really a world. It's like a I can't explain it, but there's these like blobs and they're going through time and they're talking to each other. And then Dog gets like sidetracked
and he escapes.
And he escapes the continuum and he ends up on Earth. New Earth, or whatever.
Basically, like teenage time blobs.
Yeah, they're aliens, sort of, kind of, but also sort of theoretical beings. It's really hard to explain.
I think they're on the run too, because from this Iron Ring.
Yeah, which we'll get to later.
So they're on the run here, but the dog happens to jump out of the whatever path they're on and ends up on our the main Earth, and the blob jumps out and it turns into like a basic like a Scotty dog.
Yeah, like a translucent Scotty dog, and it lands outside of this apartment building, which I will have to say it takes place in California, probably a town that doesn't actually exist. But
Santa
it
is Valda, which
yeah, I don't think that's a real place. But the way they draw this apartment building is like the most classic LA Southern California apartment building.
Yeah.
It's very spot on, I will say.
Yeah, it looks very much like
it really does.
Like a spot somewhere in on Victory Boulevard.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I've seen that.
So we meet up with this girl, Monica Wong, who thinks she's hanging out with her mom's boyfriend.
Well, she's like
stepfather.
Well, no, so it's her mom's boyfriend, but she's gonna go to
school.
To school. And her mom's probably at work, and her mom's boyfriend, who just sucks, is there, and he's always
he has
like
a star in one of his teeth.
Yeah, and he says like creepy shit to her all the time.
If
and
this
she
was a live
him.
Action movie, if this was a live action movie, he'd be played by I forgot. Is it Luis Gomez?
Probably.
The actor I'm talking about. We saw the one time.
We saw him at that Puerto Rican restaurant. I think you're right. It's I'm almost positive.
I don't
want to
say it's Gomez, but you know what I'm talking about. Luis Guzman. Thank you.
Yeah. And you're 100% right. He does look like that.
Yeah. So he's being very gross towards his
girlfriend's daughter. Yeah. So she's like, you know, fuck off, dudes. She goes outside to go get the bus. And this is what I mean by they're trying to do like way too much. So like she goes outside. She sees this translucent dog. She's like, what the fuck? You're a translucent dog. As she's waiting for this bus, we cut to the inside of the bus. And it's like, this is the bus driver's.
Yeah,
this
we get a
is
little
what's
out of
happening.
The bus driver.
What's going on? And she's got a good safety record. And I'm like, you know what? You could have cut that.
All of that.
All of it. Because you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't need to know this woman's name. I don't need to know her safety record. I don't need to know anything. I just need to see her driving the bus. Not even. So she's talking to this dog, and these being things are like, oh, shit, we have to get her to leave the dog alone.
Because they can see and somehow observe this. I just want to say, this bus driver may be the most rounded out bus driver in comic book history.
I believe you are correct.
Outside of Crankshaft.
Yeah.
There's a hierarchy of
Crankshaft, of this bus driver, everybody else.
This bus driver, all other bus drivers in comics.
Yes, you're right.
That's how it is. So if you're looking to get your comic, your animated or your, I guess, your visual medium bus drivers in order.
Mm-hmm.
This is the order. We're giving you the order.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so she's talking to this dog, and they're like, oh, she shouldn't be talking to dog. So
well, let's get her like to leave dog alone. So let's scare her by like becoming an adult authority figure. So what they do is become a giant version of her.
Yeah, like a monster version.
Yeah, and like no bad, like they start saying like no bad dog, and of course she runs, obviously, into the street in front of the bus and gets hit by the fucking bus. And so then they're like, oh shit, well we can't just leave her to die. That's like not our thing, and we caused this, so we have to do something.
Yeah, so they jump out wherever our timeline is. And I think this is what they do when they do this. This causes some sort of problem, or maybe it's...
I don't know if it's dog or if it's them. I don't know.
No, I think it's when they come jump out, but it's hard to understand because there's another, like, temporal issue going on in this book.
Yeah.
And I can't exactly understand if this is being affected, if this is what affects, if this is the reason for it, or if it's something completely different.
Right.
Anyway, so they jump... These blob teenagers jump out they don't know what the hell's going on. They don't know how to talk here. So they jump out and they're like, all right, step aside. We get the authorities. And then one of them just goes, oh, I'll kill everybody.
Right. And
then everybody runs.
I don't really know how they know about Earth. I think they have some sort of programming or something.
Probably.
That they refer to later. So they take on like the physical form that they think would be fine, but they just end up looking like presidents.
Yeah.
Like Roosevelt and Lincoln and like all that sort of shit. So Monica?
They mentioned it being like Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. But what's her name? Monica?
Monica.
So she's like dying in the street and they're like, okay, well, we can't let her die. Now, this is what I don't understand. Like why they make this choice. This is the part that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because they're like, well, we can't let her die. But if we give her synaptic energy or some bullshit, if we do that, we can never leave this place. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they would make that choice.
I don't know. I mean, they are on the run, so maybe it's something where like, okay, we jumped out and it just makes sense for us to be out so we don't have to continue running or whatever.
Yeah, but they're like, all right, well, we'll just give her this, but that means we can never leave.
Monica's trying to figure out what the hell's going on. There's just a bunch of bullshit going on.
Yeah, and there's just like, are we not a married couple? There's like a joke about all of them being married and she's like, well, you know, if you don't want us to look like that, how about we'll look like this? So that's when one of them becomes the flight attendant.
Yeah, one of them is just like, okay, look, well, we'll take forms that looks acceptable. So I'll be one girl turns into Cindy. She's the flight attendant.
Yeah, and they're trying to like take Nate. And they're like, well, how about I'll take names that no one else has. I'll be. And then it's like just a fucking like 15 word string. I think it was supposed to be funny, but it's not funny because it's too long.
Well, the one tries to say Benjamin Jefferson State sponsored Thomas Alva Global Franklin Warming Baseball Cake. So yeah. They just call him Ben.
Yeah. And I think that was supposed to be like, oh, man, this is supposed to be a really fucking funny joke. And you're like, it's too long to be a joke.
I don't even know what the joke is. It's just like.
But that's what I mean. It's like because he's just pulling words together because these are the ones he knows. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, but if that's going to be a joke, it needs to be shorter and it needs to like have some sort of punch to it. It's just nonsense.
Right. And then the black dude, he comes out and he's like, all right, I can't figure out a name.
And it's, I think he's Tweet.
He's Tweet because he says something. He says some sort of weird language.
Well, no, she says, well, what is your name? And it's in like an alien print. And she goes, well, I'll just call you Tweet. And he goes, all right, I like that. So he's Tweet, and then
why this other girl though turns into Poetry Slam? Like why she looks like that?
It doesn't. Well, you need a sexy babe.
I guess. I mean,
sexy babe. Because they're all trying
to like, blend in with the rest of society, and I understand that maybe the classic Pan Am flight attendant might be of a stretch, but this one just looks like
she looks like Storm,
like Macy Gray's Storm with Macy Gray's hair.
Yeah, I can see it.
So they made a symbiotic connection,
which is really dumb.
But they're stuck on the Earth.
Yeah,
which makes it like a 3-hour tour, like a Gilligan's
Island. Yeah, she makes like a Gilligan's Island joke, and I was like, would a teenager in 2006 make a Gilligan's Island joke? I'm going to go with no.
Nah. I thought that was a very – it's kind of like when a lot of times in WCW – Bobby Heenan would make jokes, but he'd make jokes about like these classic TV shows,
right?
From like the 50s,
are his frame of reference.
Which is his frame of reference, but it doesn't go past that.
Well, that's kind of the thing. That would be like if I was writing for a Gen Z teenager, and I'm making fucking references to the X-Files, like. Those kids, they've never fucking seen the X-Files.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, why would you make that reference?
Hey, that's a cigarette smoking man? They'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why did you even bother? So then we cut to, like, the Iron Circle.
Iron Ring.
Iron Ring. So apparently this is the ruling class.
Right.
On their planet?
Yeah, they're a bunch of cloaked guys.
I don't know.
And they're like, well... These kids, they're a bunch of idiot kids, but we need to capture them and return them back to this time, and we will decide their fate. Monica, being alive, she heads back home, and for some reason, the next they shrink down into a different size.
Yeah, and they like go in her backpack. So, like
a small size, and they're in her backpack, and they're just on her bed.
Yeah, so she's taking them out, and they like, you know, Slam gets big or whatever, and they're kind of just like hanging out and talking about stuff. One guy's just like pontificating about bullshit. And then
what? Yeah, this, come on.
I think
Ben is explaining this. What their explanation is, look, we're from a different time, but we're the next evolution. They explain that we're the next evolution of the human race.
Yeah, but they're not humans. They're like humans. Cause they're like, oh, well, I hope your species doesn't make the same choices ours did.
Right. Cause she's
so
like,
it's,
well,
it's not humans, but they are. It's just so weird.
Tweet's like, yeah, we're next. That's all. And Cindy's like, he means we're people like you a few dozen centuries from now, if you take certain paths.
Yeah.
So we may be on the next path to being these idiots.
Right.
Being time globs.
So then, like, her...
It's almost like a cautionary tale, but I mean, I'm like, well, you guys are shapeshifters, and, you know...
Hey, you have powers.
Yeah, you look... Whatever.
So then, like, her mom's boyfriend is actually home. She thought that he wasn't.
Yeah.
And so then he's, like, being gross.
Yeah, because he sees Slam, and he's like, oh, man, look at his hot lady. He says something like, hey, why don't you come in my room and I'll rub some lotion on you.
Yeah, because he says she looks like she has a sunburn.
And she does a thing where I don't understand why she does this.
I don't either.
But she charges at him. But as she charges at him, she puts her hand into like the metal sign.
Yeah.
And she does
the
like
malakia.
And she does a goozle.
Yeah.
Like she googles his throat like that, pins against the wall.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know, I'm going to call the cops, blah, blah, blah. And Monica's like, well, he's not going to call the cops because he's on parole. But we still have to get the fuck out of here because he's going to tell my mom some bullshit and I don't want to deal with it. So then they leave.
So I think at some point, when they're in this room, they send out some sort of repair construct.
Yeah, because they're trying to fix the hole they created in the wherever they came out.
Uh huh.
So the hole in like the space time continuum or whatever. So they send it out to repair itself, I guess.
So that's happening, but then this is where we jump in with Superman.
Right.
And Superman is just out in space blowing up rocks with his eyes.
Yeah.
Because
he's got stuff to do.
Because apparently there was a rock, like it doesn't really say like a meteor, but he's just like, oh, I was just breaking something into small enough pieces to burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. I have to, you know, and so, but he's visited by Metron.
Right.
Of all fucking people.
Right.
Fucking Metron.
Metro, yeah.
What the hell is like that?
Which is real weird. He's like, hey, Superman, I got
it's
like
a weird, it's a very weird collection. Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, here's your miniseries. You want to establish these new characters. Okay, you got Superman. Great. Superman will do something and maybe they'll fight some villain or whatever. But then you got in the very first, you got fucking Metron.
Right.
Who's probably the one of the lamest new gods.
Yeah.
And the new gods aren't that great to begin with.
No, there's a bunch of lame ones.
We don't really get excited about the new gods.
Nope.
But you got the guy in the chair and he's like, hey, Superman, what's up? There's like a temporal disruption.
Yeah, he's like, I got some like weird disruption, but it's not like very big and that's why I find it interesting. So like, I don't know.
You're just kind of out here just shooting rocks with your eyes.
And then Superman's like, oh yeah, no, I kind of feel it.
Superman is playing real life asteroids.
He really is.
The Atari game.
Yeah. And he's like, he's like, I'll rub my hands together and get like static electricity.
Yeah. I don't know. I watch a Superman do this. I'm like, what is he doing?
I don't know. And he's like, I'm just going to put like static electricity around it so it doesn't keep leaking. And
apparently
I'm like,
he could apparently do it. Apparently,
sure. That's a power he has.
That's a thing that, yeah, I did not know. And this is like 2006, so we're not like, we haven't rebooted him, I don't think, again. You know, we haven't gotten to the new 52. So he's just rubbing his hands together.
Doing a weird...
Doing the Mr. Miyagi, like...
He really
he's trying to heal Danielson.
Either that or, like, he's kind of like... Did you ever do it when you were a kid where you'd, like, wear socks and, like, shuffle across the carpet and, like, touch something? That's kind of what he's doing.
Oh, man. He's doing the carpet shuffle.
He's doing the carpet shuffle. He's like, oh, look at me. And
but somehow he takes this ball of energy that he's created and just expands it around this big, like, green warp pool, the temporal disruption...
And he's like, well, that'll keep it for now. I'll go see, like, there's a trail, like, leading to Earth. I'm going to follow it. Mm-hmm. But apparently, him putting the ball of energy around the leak, like, creates a monster?
It's like a cocoon that allows it to change into something else.
Okay.
Yeah, so whatever's going on here, it just changes to, like, it basically looks like a big green eyeball.
It's an eyeball.
Eyeball. And so eyeball. Superman's like, all right, well, I'm going to go check this out. And he starts flying into California, but there's some sort of, like, field. I don't know how to explain it. It's some sort of time disruption field.
Yeah, and it kind of, like, I don't know, flattens him or something.
It goofies because his hands start getting all, like gooey. And they start moving, you know, start expanding. It's really weird.
Yeah.
So we catch back up with the next and Monica's off to take them to some friend of hers or whatever. And just as that's happening, a dude in a giant unicycle. Is that what they call it?
He's on. It's not a unicycle. It's one of those like bikes that has a giant front wheel. And
there's a name for those.
There is a name. I don't remember. But this is what I don't understand about this is because it's like in 1882 England.
Uh-huh.
He's riding his bike and a hole rips in space-time and now he's in Southern California?
Yeah, 2006, yeah.
But shouldn't he be in England?
I don't know.
He should, because, I don't know, isn't that how time starts overlapping? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, because the time-space continuum is fucked and Turner D. Century is now here and that's how this
ends. Wait, what's his name?
Well, the guy, it's just some guy. I don't know if
Turner D. Century.
Well, I was just thinking about because.
Oh, I was like, is that his actual name?
Well, they say this guy's name is John Henry Milligan.
Sure.
But I was thinking when I saw this guy, because there's a Marvel villain that looks like this guy, and he has like, I think he rides like a unicycle, and he's very much a Turner, like a 19th century dude.
Yeah.
And his name is Turner D. Century.
Oh, my God. That's
and
funny.
He's really into that, and he fucks with Spider-Woman a bunch. But then he gets shot in the Scourge. Captain America. He's one of those guys
R.I.P.
that we've talked about. Maybe they brought him back. I don't know.
Sure.
But that's how this issue ends. Next issue, the fabric of time and space is completely hosed.
So here's my question before we get to if we'd read the next issue. Mm. Is there actually a next issue? How long did this run for?
Six issues.
Oh, it only ran for six. Okay.
Because it's a limited series.
Oh, well, you know what? That's good.
However, these characters
exist
have only been around for those six issues.
That makes perfect sense.
DC in 2006 was like,
no.
Nah, man. We can't. We had Superman in the first issue. Nobody bought it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Nope.
That's it for those guys.
Yeah, I'm going to say that nobody cares, which is also me.
There's a lot of DC books and a lot of Marvel books, too, end up like that, which is messed up.
Sure.
Because, you know, people out I would think that as an accomplished writer or artist, you know, you'd be really excited to get a new character out there because it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
To get new characters established.
Yeah.
You know, or at least, you know, I mean, think about, you know, depending on how they're introduced or where they're introduced, you know, you think about guys like, you know, Gambit or Deadpool or whatever, and you just don't know, you know, depending on the popularity of the book or whatever thread that's a part of, you know, you never know if it's going to be any good.
Right.
And so, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But this was not it.
Nope.
And I do not want to read the next issue of this.
Me either.
Because I can't even understand most of this.
Yeah, no.
I hate it when a book makes me feel dumb.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm saying. I know it's not the intention.
Right.
But it's something where I'm reading it, and you got these characters blabbing out about time and space, and
it also doesn't help.
Not fun.
It also doesn't help that the way they speak is written because it's like, well, they're not from here, so they're not going to exactly phrase things in like the best way. But in doing that, it makes it even more confusing. So I'm just like, what?
I wasn't happy with it.
No,
so.
I don't like it.
But it only got read because they gave it to us. Like, I wouldn't even give this a second look.
No, I wouldn't.
If I saw that, I'd just be like, what the fuck?
Okay. Yeah.
But that's it for this week's episode. Let's put a pin in this. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. And email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get the show. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're everywhere. So you should
all
check
the places.
Us out. Yeah. So please give us a look and tell your friends. Leave a review. Let them know that you check out the show. That really does help us. And hit us up on the Facebook and comment on our shit, because that's always fun. I'm right now looking up and seeing if Turner D. Century does make a comeback, and he does.
Ooh.
He grew up in the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. Somebody who was his foster father kind of did like a village on him and wouldn't let him like access like new things.
Okay.
So when they let him out, he was like, haha, I love the 1900s. And so he was murdered. And then, oh, this is one of those dudes that got reanimated by Arnim Zola. That's going to be if I can ever find a way to get all these issues, because a bunch of those guys that died in the, we've touched on them before at some points, but I've often mentioned that one of my favorite, not favorite, just because it's just such a violent blip, but the time when the Scourge, Captain America villain, was going around just killing random lame-ass villains, and then he went to a bar, just killed a bunch of them, and, you know, that was, at the time, you know, they weren't around, a lot of those guys weren't, they're just dead. Arnim Zola or somebody just brought a bunch of them back and they fucked with the Punisher. And I've always been very fascinated by that. So anyways, that'll be a book for another time. We still have plenty of, we got a lot of DC books in this pile.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of crap. Not as many Marvel books as I was hoping. All right, folks, stay inside, stay indoors, stay healthy, be smart.
Wear a mask.
And thank you for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye. We'll be right back.